Next on BYUSN, what would benefit BYU basketball more? Yegor Demian and Richie Saunders coming back for another season or being selected in the NBA draft? And what's more important for BYU's roster next season, retaining key bench players or adding impact transfers?
BYU radio analyst Mark Durant joins the program to discuss offseason priorities and if he expects another Sweet 16 run or better. And new women's basketball head coach Lee Kamard details the future of BYU women's hoops, why he believes he will be successful, and trying to retain Delaney Gibb and sister Kaylee Wolfson.
Let's go! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. There's no April Fool in today.
No.
But we wish you a happy April 1st on this Tuesday.
Pastel colors on purpose now that it's April? Or
Easter vibes,
Easter
right?
Easter vibes going on.
Easter vibes.
This is the weirdest shirt I own, by the way. It's very academic, Brigham Young University. Yes.
Where did you get that?
The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans.
You bought it at the BYU Store? When?
Online? 6 months ago or something?
Okay, not that long ago.
Yeah, like,
this
they
was
have
available
colors
relatively
this
soon.
Yeah,
oh,
this
sorry,
is the weirdest BYU shirt I own, and I love it. It's super comfortable. I like it.
It's a snow day in Provo, so
it feels academic. I feel like I should be by a fireplace when I have this, so...
Yes.
But speaking of...
By the way, his name is Jerem Jordan.
Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen.
How's it going?
I am Spencer Linton.
You know what we cannot do? Dunk, let alone dunk over people. Okay.
Truth.
Yesterday, A.J. DiBonsa participated in the McDonald's All-American Dunk Contest, and he jumped over Angel Reese.
What in the world?
Well, he got a 50 on this, by the way. He got a 50 on this. He didn't win the dunk contest, which is okay. But this dunk went viral.
She's 6'3", by the way.
He's 6'8".
She is 6'3". This isn't jumping over Kevin Hart at the NBA slam dunk competition. This is 6'3".
No, that's like jumping over a chair.
WNBA star.
He's
Angel
tiny.
Reese.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That was
by
cool.
AJ.
Number 10 on SportsCenter's top 10. Pretty cool.
Attaboy,
the
AJ.
First of many top 10s for him.
Yes. I can't wait to see what he actually will try and pull off in a game. There will be a breakaway scenario at some point early in the season for him. We'll see what he's willing to do in front of his new staff.
We saw him go under the legs and for a dunk in Hawaii.
Yes. In a game.
In a game.
In the pace of play.
What? Can't wait, man.
Perfect dunk last night. Perfect start to our show once again. Hope you're enjoying your April Fool's Day. We're not huge fans of the whole fooling thing.
Real quick, worst thing that ever happened. My mom tries to get me every year.
Oh, boy.
And she does quite often. This was mean. Mom, I actually don't like that you did this one. When I was 8, living in Woodland Hills, California, we had just moved there like a year before. My mom said, guess what? We're moving back to Portland. That's where we had lived the previous like 6 years. And we were like, yes,
all
me and my
friends.
Sisters. April Fool's. Mom, that was mean. Like, you're generally, like, the nicest person I know. That was mean!
Live and learn.
I'm not going to accept their call today. Nope. Talk to you tomorrow.
And
you're going to try and lie to me!
That is why you hate April Fool's Day.
I don't like it, yeah.
That story
childhood
right there.
Childhood trauma.
All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
AJ DiBonsa signs with BYU.
And look at where they ended up. Those things are huge building blocks to clearly what this program's going to be under Kevin Young.
BYU might be a top 10 team. If Yegor Demian and AJ DiBonsa are on the roster next year, they might be preseason top 10.
Pastels on for passionate basketball talk today here on BYU Sports Nation. Yesterday we discussed Kevin Young and BYU's number one priority and came to the consensus that it should be to, yes, secure the assets of potentially Yegor Demian and Richie Saunders coming back to BYU for one more season to team up with the aforementioned AJ DiBonsa. Recently, NBA draft expert and analyst Kevin O'Connor shared why he thinks it's beneficial for both Demian and Saunders to go back to BYU. He said on his Yahoo Sports podcast, The Kevin O'Connor Show. In fact, here's exactly what he had to say.
And with BYU, I hope a lot of those guys go back. I mean, I love Richie Saunders. He's their two guard. I think he's a late first round pick, early second round guy. But I hope they go back because Yegor Demian needs more time. He needs more time. He needs to learn how to shoot. He needs to improve his creation. And the way to do that is to play with an elite player. They have AJ DiBonsa going to BYU next year, going to play his freshman year there. if you bring AJ DiBonsa, a great shot creator, a guy who can get anywhere on the court, and you fix a lot of BYU's issues. Demon is not there yet. I can't see him as a top 10 guy in this year's draft class. Late teens, sure. 20s, yes. But top 10, I can't get there with Demon. I know he's 6'9". I know he can pass. There's shades of Josh Giddey with him. But like Giddey, he needs to improve a lot as a shooter. And in this year's class, which is pretty deep in the lottery, I hope Demon goes back to school. I hope Saunders goes back. And I hope they team up with AJ DiBonsa and, you know, come back a lot better next year, Tom, because those guys aren't ready. Well, Saunders could be, but I think he'll play his fourth year there.
BYU fans hoping that Kevin O'Connor is right and that happens for BYU and it comes to fruition, that it's Richie Saunders, Yegor Demian, and AJ DiBonsa, among others. Question now, Jerem, is would it benefit BYU more if Yegor and Richie actually came back for one more year or became BYU's first draft picks, plural, emphasis on the plural, since Jimmer Fredette?
I think both can happen. If they both came back and then went out, I think both could happen. Certainly, as I mentioned yesterday, it is a win-win, because if Yegor Demon goes out and he is a first-round pick, hopefully a lottery pick, you know, is he top 10? Is he 14? Like, top 14 is lottery, right? He's 18 with Jonathan Wasserman and Bleacher Report today. Gavoni has him higher. I think it gives glory to the program, and it helps what Kevin Young is saying, which is in his opening press conference, I want this to be the best place in America to prepare young men to go to the NBA. So it's a win-win, but we would all love Yegor back, man. Come on, if Yegor comes back with AJ and Richie, what are we talking about? This would be awesome. That would be great. It would be an expectation of Sweet 16 plus. It really would. And with AJ, the ceiling is real, real high there. Let's see how it all comes together. Let's see what it looks like. Stay healthy. What role players are around that trio? Is Kaba Kata back? Like, is Downhall Dawson Baker? Is Brody Kozlowski healthy and playing? Like, what does that look like around him? It would be fun. Richie's an interesting case because Kevin O'Connor, he's the only one I've heard that has said first round, late first round with Richie.
Which
is
shocking.
Which is great.
It's great.
Here's the thing. Second round, there's no guaranteed contract. First year, there is in the NBA. First round, there is. So if you're in the first round, that's awesome. Can Richie up his stock? That's a question I would submit. I think he could a little bit, but frankly, if he matches the efficiency he had from last year, like, that's incredible. So we'll see if Richie pulls a Dax Milne, which is the iron's hot. Dax had a, 1,200-yard receiving season in 2020? He took that and got a seventh-round pick, and he stuck in the NFL for, 4 years? That was awesome. Richie seems like he has a chance to be maybe a little more sustainable at the next level when I talk about this comparison. But I wonder, I feel like with Richie, he wants to continue to leave a legacy at BYU. That matters to him, that the NBA will be there. We'll see. If he's being told by multiple teams, like, we would take you at the end of the first, he'll have a decision to make. If he's being told you're a second-round guy, maybe he feels like, I can get into the first round with an even better year. And if BYU, and can he play much better than that? I'm not sure. Like, that was an amazing season. How many shots is he going to get, you know, more with AJ kind of being the front man now? Richie doesn't have to be the main piece. He can be one of the top three pieces there, or the number two piece. So it's an interesting question. Would it benefit BYU more if they were BYU needs to do both. They need to win and they need to have NBA draft picks. They are connected, and I'm excited to see what the future holds. But I think both could happen if both came back and then they went into the first round.
The greater benefit of these two options, because there's only 1 year to do it, because AJ DiBonsa is only going to be at BYU for 1 year, is to bring those guys back. This ain't happening again. The opportunity to do something like this, I'm sorry, it's never going to happen again. When is BYU, let's be real, I'm not putting anything past the staff and Kevin Young, but when are they going to have the number one overall rated recruit in the ESPN Top 100 and a projected number one overall NBA draft pick again? When's that going to happen?
We hope it's next year, too.
Great. Great. But really, when is that going to happen again?
It's pretty special. Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to seize the moment. So what would benefit BYU more And it's a highly personal decision for these guys.
Yeah,
I'm not taking that away from Yegor and Richie. They will do what's best for them, and we will support them and love them regardless.
They'll rep BYU forever.
But for the sake of the question, you need to seize the moment if you're talking about the greatest benefit. You have an opportunity to have how many NBA players on the floor together at BYU at one time? At least three, right?
At least
three. At least.
We'll see what the future looks like for the others.
Now, what else does Kevin Young and staff bring in? I'm not going to put it past them to have a fourth NBA player on the roster this year.
Like, does Xavion Staten eventually be a guy in the NBA?
Do they go get somebody in the portal? And listen, BYU is of high interest to some notable high-level future NBA players in the portal right now.
And the conversation isn't, do they want to be at BYU? It's, which ones do we get? That's where BYU's at right now, with the way they play, the development of the coaching staff, and the very competitive NIL. BYU's never been in a better spot to recruit in history.
Which ones do BYU target and go after and bring in?
They can be picky.
How great is that? How great is that? The time is now. You are not going to have another opportunity like this. As far as benefiting BYU goes, once again, we're very keen and aware of players' feelings, emotions, their situations. They will do what's best for them.
Yep.
But can you imagine a roster that features at least three, maybe first-round draft picks on the floor together? Then BYU is Gonzaga from 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, now they're 81 BYU. You had Danny Ainge, who, had he focused on basketball, would have been a top 10 pick.
Were they all first-round draft picks?
Greg Kite, Fred Roberts. They were all those types.
This is like another level compared to that.
Yes, you have the number one pick, we think, in the NBA draft.
Incredible. The moment is now for BYU to potentially
maximize BYU guys. Yeah, come back to BYU. Oh,
we love them.
That's what we want regardless.
But for the sanctity of the question, answering it accurately.
The sanctity of this question. Sanchidaji.
What benefits BYU more? All those guys coming back to play with AJ. You got 1 year.
Sanctity to the question. I think it says that on the door.
Sanctity of the question.
We've discussed how important it is for Kevin Young to bring back Yegor Demon and Richie Saunders. But what's more important for BYU's roster next season, to retain key bench depth or add impact transfers?
Holy cow. How do you pick one of these two?
These are two good ones, man. Come on.
What is more, Jerem, 50% or 50%? You decide.
I think it's half full.
I don't know. I tend to lean on core philosophy and what it means to have experience and familiarity. So I probably lean toward key bench depth.
And we're talking about Dawson Baker.
Dallin Hall.
Brody Kozlowski, we haven't seen what he can do.
Mihailo Boskovic.
Right, Mihailo, these guys, yes.
If BYU can keep those guys around and partner them with Yegor and Richie, I know, huge question marks, and A.J. DiBonsa, and then whatever else BYU is bringing through the portal, one Xavion player
Staten
is already in.
Yep.
We can't mention his name still. We will as soon as that becomes official. But if you can add high-level bench players to an incredible amount of talent, now we're talking about something that could be even more special than this year, which I'm almost hesitant to go there because this year was so incredible. It was so fun and such an enjoyable experience for the BYU basketball team on all levels.
Oh, fans loved it. We loved it. It was great.
It was magical in many ways. But if BYU can retain the bench depth and bring back those core pieces together, I literally texted you and our producer, Colton Potter, last night. Can you imagine if this is BYU's roster? And, you know, stars in the eyes.
I started singing John Lennon there. Right?
This would be another level of special.
I don't know what the answer is either. I think both matter a ton. Because if BYU is going to go to the next level, A.J. DiBonsa certainly takes you up a notch. But as we saw this year, think of how many games BYU needed a stop from a Whitmag, a bucket from Dawson Baker, a ball handling pick and roll situation with Dallin Hall.
Like, and Foose.
You needed Mihailo Boskovic against Iowa State in Kansas City, a couple threes.
You needed him against West Virginia.
BYU needed 10, 11 guys to do what they did. You need depth, and you need impact transfer. You need both.
Yes.
You're going to need both.
Absolutely.
If you're going to be Sweet 16 plus.
Absolutely. You can take it to another level, Jerem.
AJ probably does by himself, but like to maximize this moment, you can't just say, we have AJ, we're good. It's like, no, you need a team. Well, one, as good as he is, and he can carry BYU a long way, you need a great team. Because there'll be a night where it's just a touch off maybe. And you need it's 5-on-5.
I want BYU to have another 10-man rotation. Let's go.
Let's do it again.
Let's figure it out. Our question of the day. What helps BYU basketball's program more, a Sweet 16 run or future NBA draft picks? At @air_Gordon12 on X answers, both are spectacular, but most college players dream of making it to the league. So proving that BYU can send players to the NBA, especially with high picks like Yegor and AJ, that they will be, seems ultimately more beneficial because it's visible proof the system here works.
Yes, and I think that'll be there. If Yegor comes back and goes out after a year, I think that'll be there. BYU's never had two first-round picks in the same draft, by the way. If Yegor comes back, that will happen.
History. Yeah, that's not going anywhere, whether it's
also,
this year or next year.
Also, this is the tip of the iceberg, Doug. We think, like, BYU's peaked in its recruiting already?
Come on.
I think they're just getting going. Does that mean they're going to get other number one guys? Maybe. But I think we're going to see multiple top 10 guys at some point come to BYU. Like, we want this to be the new Duke, Kentucky, UConn situation where it's like, look at this.
Yes.
And what have we seen that gives us pause for that? Nothing. It's all been awesome. Let's go.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
What are your expectations for A.J. DeBonce in the McDonald's All-American game tonight in Brooklyn?
I expect a lot of dunks. Okay, I expect not a lot of defense.
Minimal
I expect
defense.
Him to put on a display of his athleticism.
Absolutely.
And to
How about the practice footage of him, by the way, yesterday?
Wild.
Killing it against the best players in the country.
Yes, superior, supreme talent. It will be on display, mostly on the offensive side.
That's what these games are.
I don't expect a whole lot of high-intensity defense. Maybe the last 2 minutes if the game was close.
Yeah.
Both sides want to win, but
yeah.
I just expect to be wowed and awed, and we'll come back tomorrow and show you some highlights of him flying above the rim and all of his best dunks. And I mean, the dude can touch, what, over 12 feet?
Is that what it is?
It's crazy. It's crazy, his athleticism. So that is what I expect. It will be on full display tonight.
Yeah.
Some oohs and ahs and a highlight reel that we will show you on BYU Sports Nation tomorrow that will make you that much more excited about what he's going to be at BYU.
I want 25 points plus and an MVP. That's all I want. I'm just keeping it low. No, I'm excited. When I was younger, I remember watching this game quite a bit, and I'm gonna watch it tonight, and I can't wait, man, because – you look back in 5 years and you're like, oh, there were 8 NBA guys in that game.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talent there. And we just showed the graphic. And like 7 dudes, I think, in the Big 12.
McDonald's All-Americans will be playing in the Big 12 next year.
That's pretty cool.
Including Darren Peterson, the number 2 overall recruit at Kansas. Hopefully BYU gets to play Kansas twice next year.
Do you think they will? I have no sense of whether there'll be 2 games or not.
Tough to know because they're only playing 18 conference games now. So maybe it's a little tougher.
Yeah.
But you would think that the schedule makers may want to benefit from having 2 games with the number 1 and number 2
I think so.
Recruits.
Has BYU ever lost to Kansas in Big 12 placements?
No, Jerem. They haven't.
They have not.
Interesting you would ask that.
In men's basketball. We don't have to talk about other sports.
Just men's basketball specifically.
We don't have to talk about football.
We're going to go ahead and collect.
That's so weird for me.
Quantify it how we want to.
That's so weird for me. 2-0 in men's hoops, 0-2 in football. What in the world?
Speaking of football and recruiting.
Sports or else.
Let's keep positive momentum rolling in that regard. BYU football signs 4-star linebacker Nusi Taumalpeau to their 2025 recruiting class. Jerem, how big of a get is this, if you can quantify big?
62.7, Spence. this kid is a baller. Top 20 linebacker in the country. Are you kidding me? Number 3 prospect in Utah. 6'2", 225, big hitter. He's a outside linebacker, D-end. Blows up blockers, strip sacks, havoc, explosive. Second highest rated recruit in the class behind McKay Madsen. Was at Stanford. They let go of Troy Taylor. He's able to go elsewhere. Saratoga Springs, just sketchy people live in Saratoga Springs. Am I right, Spence?
Yes, the
just
worst.
Kidding.
Just
love
the
you
worst.
In Saratoga. Just giving you a hard time. Super excited about Nusi coming. He's going to be a baller. One staffer said, this kid's a freak, and that's a good thing. Love this.
Yeah.
Very excited about him. He's going to play a bunch this year. So it's what we anticipate.
Yes, I was just going to add that. They expect him to be an immediate impact guy. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to be playing a ton of starting linebacker. Obviously, BYU is very loaded there, but don't be shocked to see him come in on occasion in some
third
different
and
packages.
Six, you put this guy to rush the quarterback?
And can that dude probably bring it on special teams if he is the athlete that they say is? Absolutely.
Big time get. Big time get. And
what does this do for BYU's overall rating? That's what I want to know. Like, that just helps to the overall
rating. Didn't help
rating.
It as much as you thought. You'd think. I looked that up.
Interesting.
But I think this is the tip of the iceberg with recruiting with BYU in the next couple weeks, by the way.
With football specifically.
With football.
We've been talking a lot about basketball.
I know it's out there, but, like, this is going to get awesome. This is going to get awesome. BYU's recruiting at such a high level in football and men's basketball.
Talent influx.
BYU softball hosts Utah Valley tonight at 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus.
We
hope. A little bit of snow this morning, Spence. It's still on. Let's play some ball. Let's go.
Up next.
You're in the press box?
Yeah, I don't
care. Warm in the press box?
I just hope I get to pay off the preparation that I stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning for.
Nice.
But please. Up next, newest head coach on campus, Lee Kamar, joins the program as the head coach of BYU women's basketball for the first time on this show. Why is he so excited? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Hope to have one of our very own that's been a champion here at BYU in the past and will be a champion again in the future. Lee Kamar.
I know that if we work hard and do it together, the sky's the limit.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan.
These colors are too much. Let's be honest. We should have. You know, it's too bright. I may have to change.
Too much going on. We can't communicate about what we wear every day.
We don't talk about wardrobe. Fun fact. Like, it's like twice a year. Anyway.
It's an Easter basket of happiness here in the Cougar Council.
We dressed up for our next guest.
And our next guest is the great Lee Kamard. Champion, as Tom Holmoe called him in that music video, coming back as a player. And Lee, obviously, you have your eyes set on chasing down a championship as now the head coach of BYU women's basketball. Congratulations.
Congrats,
on
Lee. It's awesome,
becoming the head coach. How have the last 24 hours been for you?
It's been a whirlwind for sure. Work's already started. We got a recruit on campus yesterday and today, and kind of got the formal news and just trying to prepare for everything. I can't believe how many people have reached out and offered congratulations and their excitement for me and for the program. It's just, everybody, I'll get back to you at some point, but, you know, work to be done.
Lee got to me last night, just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. I feel high up on
the I'll just tell you, like, I spent an hour replying, and I want to reply genuinely to everybody.
Yeah.
And I scratched the surface, so.
I appreciate you getting back to me. That's great. I know you're a busy guy.
You're at the top of the chain.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is something that, you know, has been in the making for a long time in terms of how hard you worked and getting to this point. But you really emphasized yesterday, like, what BYU means to you and how important that the holistic BYU experience is. Having played here, which is a unique thing, given the history of kind of the head coach of this school, what does it mean to you to be the head coach of the women's basketball team, given that you played here, you've been in both the men and the women's programs, you played overseas and whatnot, and now you have an opportunity to lead a program yourself?
Yeah, it's something I've always chased. After kind of hanging up the playing shoes and starting this journey, and there's been bumps and turns and everything along the way, but I always envisioned myself, you know, pacing the sidelines, managing a game, and just I wear the BYU brand with such pride that I'm super grateful and excited.
Tell me Jeff Judkins was one of those that texted you or at least called you with a, hey, Lee, you got to get out and recruit, man. You got to go hit the road, get some players.
There were a few people that I let know pre-presser or pre-announcement. Coach Judkins was one. I let him know what was happening. I let him know how grateful I was for, you know, all that he's done for me. He knew. We had some dialogue, and I am grateful for Coach Judkins and his chance he took on me, but just everything I learned from him, too.
Patience is an interesting thing because, obviously, you are an ambitious guy and you have big dreams. And you wanted to be the guy before, but then you just kind of settled in and embraced your assistant coach role. So what was that process like for you to be patient, kind of bide your time, work hard, always give it all, and then have it finally pay off?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in this day and age, you're seeing it some. There's a little bit of impatience going on, especially in the sports world. And I've always taken the approach, you know, my love for this place has never waned. I love the game of basketball too. But just, hey, what's my role currently? You know, I'm going to excel in that role and help the program as much as I can, as hard as I can. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. It's a crazy business. Some people are in this business for 40 years and never get the chance, and they're great at what they're asked to do. So feel extremely fortunate. But never lost sight of, hey, at some point, I do want to run a program and be able to kind of put my stamp on what that looks like.
I thought you were the best choice for a million reasons. One, because we know you and we were in school at the same time and we like you a lot. But also, to retain Delaney Gibb and sister Kaylee Woolston, what's being done to make sure that they're in the BYU program?
Sure, they've been a part of this process. Just like all athletes, they're trying to position themselves or find the best spot, you know, roster, you know, and managing all the variables that go into that, right? What does the roster look like? Can it compete? What's the financial situation look like? I think they're both in a really great place with BYU. They both want to be at BYU. They love this place. And we'll see what comes in the coming days, but I feel really good about those two. But, you know, we have a great group returning, right? Girls that want to be here and play and rep the BYU brand and do it the Cougar way. And so kind of have a little momentum, and I know it's a little weird saying that considering we kind of had a subpar year last year, but feel like we have a nice core that wants to be here and compete.
And several of those players, Ari Mackey-Williams, Ryan Hudgens, and others, were at the press conference. That's correct. Always nice, right? Yeah, Delaney was at the press conference.
They're great. I was a little worried. You know, we had a team meeting, and Brian and Tom, you know, let them know. I was like, how are they going to react? You know, and it was a joyous occasion. You know, there was some excitement. And it was good to see that instead of it just being like
crickets.
Just crickets.
People walk out the back door.
Golf clap, you know. So the way they responded bodes well. You know, it gave me a lot of confidence and I'm excited. Good group.
That's a tribute to you. Yeah. Can you imagine? Oh, great. Fabulously, Kamard is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Not every coach wants the difficulty and, frankly, trouble of handling NIL and the transfer portal and all of the impatience and just everything that goes along with it in the current age of college sports. Why do you feel like you're ready for all of those unique challenges?
Sure. I mean, it is very unique currently right now. Like
entitlement as well.
Yeah, there's that. And look, like for us, it can't be about just the money. Like, we've had many conversations in the portal, and it's really clear early in those conversations of what they're searching out, right? Everybody's aware of what's going on here, whether it's with other program, other school, you know, like there's a lot of buzz about BYU and what's happening in NIL. We're not chasing people that want just the money. You got to fit. You got to have the character to be here. We want you to feel valued, financially speaking. And we've kind of taken that approach and, you know, hopefully that approach pays off long term for us.
What's the secret sauce that soccer and volleyball have sort of figured out with attendance that we can create with women's basketball? You know, and how can we help?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because, I mean, I said it in the press conference yesterday. I think we got to put a better, more exciting product on the floor. But you know what? Even in some of those years with Coach Judkins and we're 26-2, it's still not the same turnout that volleyball and soccer have gotten. And that was a really exciting team, explosive offensively. So I mentioned yesterday, we got to do a little bit more in the community to build that stickiness, you know, kind of a connection with people that want to come out and support. Yeah. Because, and I've seen it a lot, as people get to know these young women and their story and who they are as a person, they jump head first all the way in, you know, and so probably a little bit of that, putting a better product on the floor, more wins. Towards the tail end of that last year of Coach Judkins, we had some pretty good crowds.
Yeah, 6,000 plus against Gonzaga.
The Gonzaga game was awesome.
You know, and so, and it wouldn't take much because if we get to a place where that lower bowl feels pretty full, then you have a fan experience with the energy that's in the building. It's going to bode well for us. Right, a true home court advantage, and we've increased, you know, the last few years, and it's been fun. But as we put a better product, I think you're going to see more people. The game's just ready to explode, and it's exploding in a lot of places.
BYU women's basketball head coach Lee Kamard is on BYU Sports Nation.
That sounds fun.
That sounds good?
That sounds good.
Sounds great.
I got to give it its due credit. I was watching, or rather reviewing last season, and just almost incredulous at how close this team was to winning like seven different games in Big 12 play. A few plays here and there. And you had turnover concerns and all that. Just a few simple plays or missed free throws. And instead of being 4-14 in conference, straight up you're 8-10 or 9-9. It's not that crazy to think that this team is that close. So how do you build off of that, knowing that you aren't really close?
Yeah, we were really close. And we had a couple of non-conference games that were really close too that we should have won. Feel like we're there. We got to learn how to win, you know. And you see, you go through the rosters of those top half teams in this league, and they are grads and seniors and very experienced juniors. And you can't discount that experience, right? A girl from TCU has played 160, started 160 games at this level. So there's no question why they've had the success. So got to learn how to win. Got to clean up some of those turnover challenges that we faced this year. But I think it was seven games that we lost by two possessions or less. And two of those games in conference, we were up significantly.
Yes.
Either under a minute by five, under 30 seconds by three, you know, and it's just a stop here and a rebound, and, you know, it's a completely different game. So that's part of learning. You know, we got to grow from it. Got to, you know, we'll spend a lot of time working on quote unquote money time or the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. And just kind of going through that. We got great experience, got a lot of experience in those close games. So hopefully that pays off. Another thing, I think there was some, you know, people that got to play this year due to injuries or whatever that, hey, you got the experience now, right? It's no longer, hey, we're just stepping into this. Like, it's go time. We're sophomores and juniors, you know, now. And I think that will pay off.
The only bad thing about this whole thing, Lee, is that this delays the lifelong dream of Leezy's lawn care service. Like, that's the only issue, right?
Throwback.
Forever you've wanted a lawn care service, we have to put that on.
You can just own one.
Maybe I'll just...
Well, he wanted to get out there and cut a little bit, too. Yeah,
everyone. So I got a big enough yard now that, you know, I can do that. But at some point, you know, maybe when you're retired, we'll form a
We'll put it together.
We'll hire an operator and we'll just call it that. Because You bring it up every time. I think you love it as much
as me. I love Leezy's lawn care service. I'll hire the boys. Come on over.
Yeah.
You got things going on. You got a missionary getting ready to go out too, Lee.
Yeah. It's a fun time of life. He got accepted into BYU, and he's pumped about that. And then several days later, he got his mission call. He's going to Frankfurt, Germany.
Awesome. That's awesome.
He's super excited, and we're excited for him. And just a new season of life, you know, like –
We're getting old, Lee.
No, it's great.
We're getting old.
It's great.
Indeed, we are. Congratulations again. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, no, you guys are the best. We love it. We support it and grateful for everything.
Thanks, Lee. Okay, BYU Baseball plays the first of five straight road games tonight at Oral Roberts, 7 Eastern on BYU Radio.
After the break, more details on tonight's McDonald's All-American game featuring A.J. DeBonta. Who's he going to jump over tonight? All that on the way in headlines.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headlines.
Men's basketball four-star freshman Elijah Crawford entered his name into the transfer portal yesterday. I suppose he's now a sophomore. Crawford played 19 games this season, averaged 1.2 points per game, shot 38% from the field. He joins Cannon Catchings in the portal. Had some memorable moments of personality and skill.
Indeed, he did.
Miss, including dunking over Cosmo in Midnight Madness. That was awesome.
So he did the same dunk as AJ, but he did it over Cosmo.
Not bad.
Well done. Good luck to Elijah wherever he lands.
Absolutely.
BYU signee AJ DeBonta plays in the McDonald's All-American game tonight at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. It was good to see him in New Jersey at BYU's Sweet 16 game.
He and Ace and Chelsea.
Absolutely. DeBonta, one of seven different Big 12 signees playing in the game. BYU's first McDonald's All-American since Garner Meads back in the year 2000.
Yes. I do remember that year.
Game tips tonight, 9 Eastern on ESPN.
Yesterday, Lee Kumard was introduced as women's basketball head coach and discussed his expectations for the team.
Excellence is the expectation, and that's how we do everything. It's in our mindset. It's in our approach to things. It's in our preparation. It's how we work. That's the expectation, and they know that, and they're wanting that.
Kumard's the eighth head coach in women's basketball history at BYU, and he just joined the program last segment.
BYU softball hosting Utah Valley tonight at Miller Park. Weather permitting. It's snowing currently.
I thought you were going to say Spencer permitting.
I permit it. We'll see if the weather allows it. Cougars beat the Wolverines last Tuesday 14-0, most recently coming off a win over ninth-ranked Arizona 9-4 on Saturday. It's a good team. Tournament resume right now, Jerem. After a three-year hiatus, game starts tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
Baseball plays at Oral Roberts tonight, 7 Eastern on BYU Radio. First of five straight road games. The Cougars are 14-11 on the year.
BYU men's volleyball in at number 7 in the latest AVCA poll, coming off a bye week. Cougars, 15-7 on the season, host number 12 Stanford Thursday and Friday.
Two guest analysts coming up Friday. It's going to be fun.
Let's go.
I'll tease you later in the week, I'll tell you. Women's golf currently in third place after day one at the USF Invitational. MJ Berrigan leads the way for BYU, 3 over par, which has her tied for fifth. Final round tees off this morning.
After the break, BYU basketball radio analyst Mark Durant discusses his top priorities for BYU this offseason. We've given you ours. But now the guy who has the opinion that probably really matters. This is BYU Sports Nation.
And he has an opinion.
So beautiful. Such poise. Such composure. There it is. There it is, brother.
It'll all have to pan out, like I said, in the future. And a lot of the decisions now can only be judged in a couple years from now.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Joining us now over Zoom is BYU basketball radio analyst, one of our closest friends. He is the great Mark Durant.
A man who appreciates pastel colors.
And frankly, he's the only guy that can appropriately use gazelle in any type of broadcast form when it comes to BYU sports. Mark, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. It's hard to keep up with Greg's vocabulary, but I do my best.
What was it like to call games for BYU basketball this season? And the emotions of maybe some frustrations early in the year to a magical Sweet 16 run.
Well, I know I look young and spry, but this was our 28th season calling games. And I think this was as much fun as I've had. Obviously, the Jimmer years were fun, and every year is fun, but this year was something special. I mean, what they did, especially late in the season, seeing the team get better and kind of find themselves and, you know, do something that only a couple of teams have ever done at BYU, it was just fun. I mean, and then going to some of the places in the Big 12 and having that, just that level of competition in the first place in the Big 12, and then going places like Arizona and Iowa State and winning those types of games that were so intense and exciting in the best college environments in the country, and then beating Kansas at home like they did and having that winning streak and going to the Sweet 16. I mean, that's dream-like stuff. That's good stuff. And so I really, really had a good time watching that. If you combine these 5 or 6 months of basketball with football, what they did, I mean, it's been a magical 9 or 10 months of BYU sports. And I think we as BYU fans just need to kind of take a breath and realize how lucky we were and how fun this last year has been.
It was absolutely special. I want to ask you a lot about men's hoops, but first I want to ask you about Lee Kumard, one of the beloved men's basketball players in BYU history. Now that women's head coach at BYU, what's your reaction to Lee getting the head job?
I'm so happy for Lee. He's so great. And one of the great things about doing this for as long as I have is I got to call every one of Lee's games. And he was such a tremendous player, just an elite shooter. Remind me a little bit of my brother. I mean, he was just smooth. And I loved how he was progressing in the college ranks. And I think he's the right person for the job here at BYU. He loves BYU. He's committed to BYU. He's committed to excellence. And I think, you know, when he speaks from a place of authority that the women can listen to and respect and want to be a part of what he's going to bring to the table here at BYU. So couldn't be happy for him and his family. I love it when good things happen to good people. And especially when good things happen to really good BYU people. That means a lot to me, and to see a guy like Lee succeed in so many areas of life and now a chance to really do it at the highest level of coaching is fun.
Mark Duran is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's talk off-season priorities for BYU men's basketball, which clearly centers around recruiting. But in our day and age, Mark, recruiting starts with the current roster that you have. This is just, you have to do it every year now. In your opinion, what is the number one top priority for BYU men's basketball and Kevin Young this offseason?
Yeah, Spencer, what a world I live in where I wake up and I have anxiety when I pick up my phone to see the latest news. I mean, it could be great news that BYU got somebody or BYU's losing somebody. And so it's a different world, but I think as evidenced by the Final Four this year, I think to the extent you can keep your best players for multiple years, that's a real advantage in college basketball. And then if you can then sprinkle in some transfers and some recruits, obviously BYU has the recruit and some other very good players coming in. So to the extent that they can balance that and keep players that brought you great success this year, then that certainly appears to be the formula for real success. And BYU's poised, I think, to do things that have never happened at this school before and to reach a level of success they've never done that. But in order for them to do that, they'll have to really work hard on keeping some of those players that got you where you were this year and getting those players that can take you to that next level. And so, you know, it's a crazy time. It's a wild time. But in talking with Justin Young and the BYU coaches, I mean, they've got it under control. They're going to do a great job and get the players they need, and they know about every single player in the country and are ready to act and know who they want, the type of guys they want. And they also know, I think, the best ways to keep guys here and want to be a part of the success that appears to be on the horizon for BYU.
We've been talking about the following, which is a fun conversation because it's the offseason now. Would it benefit BYU more if Yegor Demon and Richie Saunders came back? Or were both drafted in the first round, say, if Richie snuck into the first round?
Well, I think there's benefits for both. I mean, obviously BYU wants to be considered a place where you can come, have success, and then make that transition to the NBA. Players are desperately, I mean, that's everybody's dream growing up, right? And if they see BYU as a real avenue for that possibility, that can only speak well for BYU. With that said, I mean, there's a lot of considerations. Let's take Yegor and Richie, for instance. What I found is that if they were to come back and have a season where they get to the Final Four, that exposure is worth a lot. And so as enticing as a possible first round might be this year, if you go and you're an All-American type player on a team that goes to the Final Four, that draft stock rises significantly. So are you better off going this year? Or, I mean, it's a little bit of a risk, but coming back next year and really improving your stock and being a high lottery or middle of the round, in Richie's case, likely. But, you know, that is a risk, but the NIL nowadays softens that risk a little bit. At least you know you're getting some money, some significant money. But these are all things they have to factor in. And Kevin Young's a great person to talk to about that. He understands the NBA and how all that works. So you've got a great sounding board in him that's going to be straight with you. But also, you know, you just got to kind of figure out what's best for you and weigh those risks and opportunities and make the call. And won't begrudge either one of those guys if they want to stay or go. They've certainly done a lot for the program as it is. And whether they stay or go, I don't think is a negative to the program. I mean, like I discussed, it can be a positive to show that BYU is a springboard for higher things.
Mark, this is a tricky question to answer because we don't know who's going to be on BYU's roster next year in large part. Obviously, we know the newcomers, and we feel like certain people are going to be back. But now BYU fans are already thinking about what could be next year and the potential and the expectations. So where do you stand on all of that with the appropriate expectations for this team, given so many question marks that we are discussing right now?
Yeah, that expectation and hope game is built into the very DNA of a Cougar fan, I think. I mean, the possibilities are enticing and exciting. And once you, like they say, once you get a taste of Perry, it's hard to keep you down on the farm. And once you get to the Sweet 16, it's hard to expect anything less or even more and want to be part of that elite basketball grouping that kind of expects to make the tournament and expects to make a run. And that's where I want BYU to be. Now, obviously, it's such a volatile situation in college sports, but certainly you think with the success BYU's had with some of the players that I expect to return and with the most exciting player BYU's ever had coming into the program and others that are really good players, and you've got to think now that BYU is a real force in the transfer portal. So I expect some very high-level players coming in. So even with a couple of losses here and there, I think BYU is poised to continue their great success and be even better next year. And that's an expectation I would hope that every player on that team wants and the coaches want. Nobody wants low expectations. You want to expect that you're going to be one of the best teams in the country. And now more than ever, I think BYU is in a position to actually fulfill those expectations.
We'll see what games BYU gets in non-conference. Certainly we know Villanova is the opener against a new head coach, TBD, right? Are you expecting some really fun non-conference games given the draw for A.J. DeBonsa?
Jeremy, I expect it to be nuts, man. I expect all kinds of media attention. I mean, it's going to be Jimmer Redux. I mean, it's A.J.'s time. It's A.J.'s world. And from every indication, he looks like a guy that can come in. And again, it's hard to put expectations on an 18-year-old or whatever, but there's been no indication to me that he can't come in and can be a dominant player like a Cooper Flagg was this year. And so that's just going to attract national attention. It's going to be a huge story. And I think BYU being a part of that is an interesting wrinkle because they're kind of a newcomer, even though they've had a good program for so many years. And they're going to get opportunities to play in games against certain teams that no way would they have gotten them without AJ. So I'm just going to buckle up, enjoy the ride, have fun, see where it takes BYU, but it's going to be nuts.
Mark Durant always bringing it, keeping it real on BYU Sports Nation. And speaking of hope in the DNA, you have that, my friend, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I got the bluest of the blue goggles, man. I love BYU. So I'm gonna ride or die with the Cougars, and I know you guys love BYU too. I appreciate all you do for BYU sports, and it's just a great time to be a BYU fan. And so I'm just enjoying the ride, and yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Lots of love to you and your family, Mark. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Mark.
You guys are the best. Love you.
See ya. Let's go. All right, I've got a question for all of you that you can answer after the break. What helps BYU basketball's program more? Have your say. A Sweet 16 run or future NBA draft picks? The elite response of the day to that question hits next on BYUSN.
I want it all!
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. What helps BYU basketball's program more? A Sweet 16 run or future NBA draft picks.
Yes.
Eric.Jax14 on Instagram says, draft picks. People need to know it's possible to get to the next level from BYU.
Yeah.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from at Y4Life1984 who answers on X. Sweet 16 helps more in the short term. NBA helps more in the long term if players stay in the league. How long Yegor stays in the NBA matters more than if he goes this year or next. So
that's an interesting point.
Sustainability,
yeah,
is the key there.
Yeah.
Today's rise.
Don't just get him in. Keep him there.
Yeah, absolutely. Play 8 to 10 seasons.
Love it.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Go to a lot of people or things. Lee Kumar, new women's basketball coach. Excited about the new era there? Let's put some butts in the seats there in the Marriott Center, okay? Let's attend women's basketball like we do soccer and volleyball.
Support it. Let's support it. All right, our thanks to today's guest. We just mentioned his name, Lee Kumar, and moments ago, Mark Durant.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of
conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Daniel Bobick. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs! We'll see you for softball at 7 Eastern.